when Jack was hooking me up. He said, what are you sharing on? I said, our Heavenly Father. He said, well, I shared on that. I said, oh. Yes. So I teach, you know, every 2 Sundays out of every 6, so I missed that message. So Jack was very gracious and said, no pressure. So. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come to you. What a great Father you are, worthy of praise and adoration and bowing and bending the knee. Lord, we just bless your name this morning. And Lord, I do pray that your Spirit, the Spirit sent from the Father, would really open our hearts and, Lord, just to see anew these simple points that you've given me, Lord, that the Spirit of God would really speak to each one of us. Lord, speak to me even as I share these things. Lord, though they're simple, yet, Lord, you are so precious in the simplicity of your word. So, Lord, speak now, we pray. In your name I pray. Amen. Theme verse is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. And we'll be going all over the scriptures. I'm not expecting you to turn to each one, but if you'd like, that would be great. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I had a hard time just getting past the first word of that verse. Blessed. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, and that refers to the Father, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And as I was considering this before the Lord, he took me in an unexpected direction. So even this morning, he was changing things. So I just blessed the Lord for it. And I realized this message is more for me than probably for you. And because I needed to be rearranged in my thinking, in my heart. So I want to praise the Lord for it. Blessed. What does it mean, blessed? Blessed is simply to praise. Myers says it is an emotion of the heart. Isn't that wonderful? We think of emotion of the soul. But he says it's an emotion of the heart that is celebratory in its praise. So when you bless someone, you're blessing someone from the depth of your heart as a celebration, as it were. So this morning, if you do remember nothing else, and we come to the end of the message, I pray that your heart will be able to bless your Heavenly Father with a deep felt, heartfelt emotion, passion that comes from the Spirit of God. In a day when fatherhood is looked down upon, it's wonderful to really realize how precious our Heavenly Father is. Our Father. Well, what we're going to do is just simply go through his birth, the birth of his son, the walk of his son, the death of his son, and his son being raised up. And see, just simply, from the father's point of view, as it were. And I'm picking out just a few things. And the Lord narrowed it down to just a few for me, so I was very grateful for that. First of all, in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "For which of the angels did he ever say," he referring to the Father, "you are my son, today I have begotten you." And again, "I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me." There was a time when our Heavenly Father said, "Today, I will be your father." And this is referring to our Lord Jesus being begotten by the Father. "Today, I have begotten you." You know, John 3:16 tells us that the Father gave his only begotten Son. John 14:9 says, "The Father sent his Son." And Galatians 4 says, "The Father determined the time of Christ's birth. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman." You know, I don't understand how the pre-existent Christ became incarnate, but he did, and it's of the Father's will. The Father sent his Son, and the Father gave his Son. And what a wonderful heart our Lord, our Father had to send his only Son. And I was thinking, "Lord, how wonderful this is that you put this on my heart months ago, and now I get to share on the day after Christmas." So we have to see the shepherd, read the shepherds about the shepherds. So turn to Luke chapter 2. Let's have some true celebration this morning. I got up 3:30 this morning, as you often do when you have to share, and I walked out on my porch, and across the street, my neighbors, who I love, they're very kind, but they celebrate Christmas in a strange way. They have these balloons every season. I call them balloons. They're like statue balloons. You know what I'm talking about? And there were four of these balloons. One was Santa Claus. This is on celebrating the day of our Lord's birth. Santa Claus. And beside Santa Claus, lit up at 3:30 in the morning, there was an elf with a Santa Claus hat. And then I looked over, and oh, there's another one. It was some kind of bear. I guess it was Winnie the Pooh. And then, of course, Frosty the Snowman. And I just started laughing because I wanted to share just a little bit about Luke 2 and the wonderful celebration of the shepherds. And here across the street, there's this whatever. So just isn't it, the world is so strange. So Luke chapter 2, verse 8. "In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in their fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terribly afraid." I memorized this when I was a kid in King James, and I want to say sore afraid, but sore means terrible, right? So they were sore afraid. "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find the babe wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying," now take note, "praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest.'" Glory to the Father in the highest. "And on earth, peace, goodwill to men." You see, Jesus had already been born. So that I want you to know, just to realize this morning, that at the birth of the only begotten Son of the Father, there was great rejoicing in heaven. Great celebration. And as if for these poor, humble shepherds, God tore apart the sky and allowed the praise and worship that was going on in heaven to the Heavenly Father for sending His only begotten Son. Now, have you ever thought of it that way? I had not. To the glory of God the Father. Glory to God in the highest. So the Heavenly Father is worthy of worship for sending His own Son. Praise the Lord for that. That's the first point I have. The second is that this praise and just adoration in heaven continues all through the Lord's life. And there were two instances where the Heavenly Father just had a burst of fatherly pride over His Son. And turn to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. We'll read from 13 through 17. And Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, "I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered, said to him, "Permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he permitted him. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And once again, behold, the heavens were opened. It is as if the heavens themselves, the sky above our Lord, just kind of ripped open. And he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove, and lighting on him, coming on Jesus. And behold, a voice out of the heavens, that very heavens that was, you know, the door opened in the heavens, and the voice of the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved Son." There's only three times where the people heard the voice of God in the Gospels that I know of. This and the one we're going to share about. And then one other time when the Father told the Son, "I will glorify my name. I have glorified it and will glorify it." And they said the voice sounded like thunder. Well, this is the first time. And the Lord, the Heavenly Father, shouted, as it were, "This is my beloved Son." The Father had so much love for His Son, He wanted the whole world to know. "This is my beloved Son." The Son is beloved by the Father, fully and completely, with overwhelming love that we don't even understand. The Father loves His Son, and He calls Him His beloved Son. And not only is the Son beloved, but the Father says, "I am well pleased in Him." This harkens to Isaiah 42:1, where it says, "The chosen one in whom my soul delights." And this is the Father's heart for His Son is one of delight, of great joy. And it's as if the Father is delighting at this point to say, this one, Jesus, He's my Son, and He's beloved by me. And I want you to know that. Now, brothers and sisters, what a wonderful thing that is. Turn to Matthew chapter 17. And we're going to come back to this beloved aspect. Matthew chapter 17. We'll read 1 through 8. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became as white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to him, talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make 3 tabernacles here, one for you, one..." And then while he was speaking, the Father interrupted him. And the Father said, well, let's read it. "While he was speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Listen to him.'" And brothers and sisters, it's a wonderful thing that the Father once again opened the heavens and spoke in a voice that they could hear, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." And you know, I was just thinking this morning, that voice was heard not only here, but through all the principalities and powers, all the darkness. They heard twice, "This is my beloved Son." And this is right before Jesus is getting ready. He's foretelling his death in the chapter beforehand. So the Lord's, the death, the coming of what the Lord's got to go through, what the Father has to go through. And the Father is saying to all, "This is my beloved Son," to all who would hear. And what a proclamation. This is an eternal cry, an eternal voice of the Lord God Almighty. "This is my beloved Son. He will always be my beloved Son. He was my beloved Son before the incarnation. He's my beloved Son while he's on earth. And he will be, and he is later in our time, he is beloved. He is the beloved Son, eternity past, present, and future. The Son will always be the beloved one of the Father. The Son will always be the recipient of the love of the Father. It never changed and never has changed. And that one fact, which we'll see later, is so important to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Next, we come to the Father's Son on the cross. You know, because the Father so loved the Son, each step that the Son took, the Son said, "I go, the steps that I take, where I go, what I do in perfect harmony and unity with the Father." So from the Father's point of view, he was leading, guiding, and supporting his beloved Son all through his walk. And as they approached Calvary, oh, the Father poured out his love on the Lord Jesus and enabled him to walk. And when we come to the cross, it was prayed this morning out of Isaiah chapter 53. It says, "We esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief." The Heavenly Father, the Heavenly Father who loved his Son, was pleased to crush his Son for our sake, was pleased to make his Son, it's almost, let me read the verse, 2 Corinthians 5:21. "He made him," he being the Father, "made him the Son who knew no sin," the Son knew no sin, "to be sin on our behalf." In our Friday night meeting, one brother was sharing how much the Father must have suffered with the Son. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, as the Father and the Son fellowshipped about what was to come, and the Son said, "Oh, Father, if possible, take this away." And the "No, you have to go through this." You know, in Acts, in Peter's wonderful sermon, he said this was a predetermined plan by the foreknowledge of God. God the Father and God the Son knew this was coming. And the Lord Jesus was led all the way by his beloved Heavenly Father. But praise the Lord, the Father would not allow his Son to see decay. In Acts chapter 2, verse 31, it says, "He was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay." Because in the verse right before that, it said, "God raised him up again." So God the Father would not allow his Son to stay in the grave or his body to see decay. He loved his Son so much. He loved us so much. But he wouldn't allow his Son to see decay. He raised him up. This Jesus, God raised up. He raised him up from the dead. Praise the Lord for that. This brought great glory to the Father. You know, when the angels were worshiping in his birth, they said, "Glory to God. Glory to God the Father." And then in Philippians chapter 2, when it says he was exalted, he was raised up, it said it's all done to the glory of God the Father. So praise the Lord. The Father raised him up, and the Father seated the Son at his right hand. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20 said, "He raised him up from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenlies." But to which of the angels has he ever said, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool"? Remember, we're coming back to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. So the Father sent his only begotten Son, the one whom he loved. The Father declared all through his life, "You are my beloved Son, and I rejoice over you with great gladness, and you are the delight of my soul." And then he raised up his beloved Son and seated him at his right hand, right by his majesty on the throne, right beside him. So praise the Lord for that. This is all the Father's doing. The Father timed it to perfection when his Son would come, and the Father led him all through his life to the very point where he was seated at his right hand again. Now we come to the part that really touched me. I mean, this all is something we all know. But turn to John. I believe it's John chapter 20. Yeah, John chapter 20, verse 17. No, that's not it. Oh, no wonder I'm in Luke. Yeah. After the Lord was raised from the dead, he walked among us for a little while before he ascended, right? And he said to Mary, "Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brethren. And I would that you would hear this as if for the first time. So often we hear so many wonderful things over and over. It's just like it loses, loses some kind of import to us. "I ascend to my Father and your Father, my Father and your Father. Brothers and sisters, do you realize how precious that is? My Father and your Father. Over and over again in the epistles, the Lord says, you know that phrase in the greetings, grace to you and peace from God, our Father. God, our Father. This is the Father of the beloved Son, who is our Father and the Father. We share the same Father as the Lord Jesus. Now, if Scripture hadn't said it, it would be difficult to say that, wouldn't it? Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, chapter 2, it says, for both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from sharing, what does it say? One Father. So we are from the same. Isn't that amazing? I can look around this room and say, you have the same Heavenly Father that I do. And we have the same Heavenly Father that our Lord Jesus had. The same Father who sits on the throne is our Father, my Father, and the Lord Jesus' Father. That is amazing. If we would look at each other and consider each other as being the son and daughter of a Heavenly Father who has the same Father, it's the same Father. Sometimes we get, when I say you, I really mean me, get kind of myopic. Oh, he's my Father. Yes, but he's your Father, the same Father. And the way I think of you should be as if you have a powerful, loving, Heavenly Father who is your Father as well as being mine. And when you think of it that way, it really sets you, it slaps you across the face when you have a harsh thought about someone, a brother or sisters. You can't, because that brother or sister has the same Heavenly Father that you do, and even more than that, that brother or sister has the same Heavenly Father that the Lord Jesus has. And that is an amazing thing. When we come and you think of, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that Father, who's the God and Father of the Lord Jesus, is my God and Father as well. It's amazing. It's amazing, brothers and sisters. And to compound the amazement that I have, you and I are called beloved of God as well. We are called the beloved of our God and Father. Not only is he my Father, not only do I love him in a small way, he says, Roger, you're my son, and you are my beloved. Think of that. Each one of you, if you know the Lord Jesus, are beloved by God the Father. You know, I did not have a good relationship with my father. And he died before we could probably share what he would have wanted to share about how much he loved me, but I never heard it. Of course, being raised that way, what did I do? I did the same thing. So I'm just as guilty as my dad in not sharing to my children how much I love them. So it really means something personal to me that I can bless a father who calls me beloved. You are beloved by your Heavenly Father. And I want to tell you, just the way the Heavenly Father took delight in his Son, he takes delight in you. his beloved. What does beloved mean? Excuse me, I have the sniffles today. What does beloved mean? Just in simple English, kind of a strange word the more you say it, but beloved means I am the recipient of someone else's love. So my wife is my beloved, and I am her beloved because I am the recipient of her love. William is Judith's beloved, and Judith is William's beloved. I am the beloved of my father, and my father is my beloved as well. And my father loves his son loves his father. And brothers and sisters, when I say you and I are beloved, we're beloved by God, and we're beloved by each other. And when I love God the Father, and I love you. So you are my beloved, and I am your beloved. You are your father's beloved. You know, it's an amazing, wonderful beloved. So it's our song. We have a lot of songs about this. Beloved, let us love one another. And we are each other's beloved in the same fashion and manner and quality as we are beloved by our Heavenly Father. You might say, nah, it can't be the same. There's no way. Well, turn to John chapter 17. Of course, all of you know the proper answer. But just think of it before you turn there. It's the same kind of beloved as the belovedness of the Father and the Son. Because if it is, that's quite amazing. Well, John chapter 17, verse 24. Well, let's see. Verse 23. I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them, even as you loved me. The love that the Father has for the Son is a love that we should have for each other. That love is the same love. Beloved. The root of that is agape. Beloved is agape. I looked it up. Agape tau, or whatever that last little part of that word is. So agape love is just the very core of the brotherly love that we're to have with each other. Often Paul said, dearly beloved. Dearly beloved. And each of us not only is dearly beloved by the Father, we should be dearly beloved by each other. This is the kind of love that is spoken of when the world sees it. They're astounded at it. They should be. And I said, Lord, I do not love that way. I know that I'm beloved of God. And for some of you, and I shouldn't even tease about it, I'm beloved by each one of you. But do you know that I do love each one of you? Probably not. I was thinking, well, Lord, what if we just made it a rule, which is not going to happen, but let's call each other beloved. John Blanchard would just slap me across the face and say, what? Just teasing you, John. Beloved, when you greet each other this morning, say, hi, beloved in the Lord. Hi, beloved of the Lord. My wife, I'd say, hi, dearly beloved. But I was thinking, whether you say it or not, I would that we would say that more often, or even some of the time. Because it's a recognition that each one of us, each one of your brothers and sisters is beloved by the Lord. Where would gossip be? Where would grumbling and complaining against each other? Where would it be? No, that person is beloved by my Heavenly Father who loves me as well. You see how that love, that belovedness in the body of Christ is so wonderful? Okay, to close up, back to Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to turn there. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Seated by the Father at this very moment is the beloved Son, whom the Lord even now rejoices over. And don't you know that if his very heart, his heart of delight in his Son, of his Son being his beloved, if we are to be blessed in his beloved Son, what is the Father's attitude or heart in giving every good thing to us? It is with great joy that our Heavenly Father blesses us in his Son. We were talking about joy this morning, and I was going to talk about Hebrews chapter 12, 2, for the joy set before him. This morning it came up, there's a joy that the Father, as he led his Son through the cross. You know, it says in Peter, I forgot to say this, that the Father, the Son kept entrusting himself to his Father on the cross because there was such that trust in relationship, Father and Son. But it says, for the joy set before him, and it's been mentioned that the joy of that on the cross, mentioned this morning, and then in prayer, the joy of the people that would be saved. But you know what? I believe this joy is so extensive, it can be all of this, of course. There's a great joy of the Father, that the Father has, that he would bless you and I with every spiritual blessing because of Christ, his beloved Son. That he blesses us with a great joy and delight because you and I are the beloved ones of his Son and his beloved ones. So, two final points. This love, the Father, I know it, when we were born again, he probably said, these poor people, my children whom I love, they're not going to be able to love. And he says, at the request of the Son, I'm going to send my Spirit. In Romans chapter 5, verse 5, what does it say? The Heavenly Father, the Father God, says, I will send my Spirit, and he will shed abroad in their hearts this great love. And that love is going to be what enables them to know their beloved Father, to know how much they're beloved in each other, just to know the love of God is being done by the Spirit at the direct request of the Son for us. I found that to be very wonderful. Finally, in Revelation chapter 22, I struggle with a way to share this. I had this picture of the love of God just going through great floodgates, as if there's a reservoir of God, and it goes through these floodgates. You know, when the floodgates open, you've seen the pictures of this huge, when they open wide and there's a huge reservoir, the pressure of it just comes out. It's like the floodgates. And in Revelation chapter 22, it says, he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God. That's God the Father. And from the throne of the Lamb. That's the beloved Son. And there's a river of life that flows from God the Father to you and I that is clear as crystal and wonderful. And this blessing that flows from the throne of God in his Son is magnificent and amazing. And our Father is a Father full of great mercy, great love. He pours out his grace upon us all because of his beloved Son. So let's praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, I do pray that we would come to realize more and more the greatness of your love for your Son. How great the Father's love for his Son is. How great the Father's love for us is. Lord, it is vast beyond all measure. Lord, I pray that you would fill us, our hearts, with a celebratory praise of blessing our Heavenly Father, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless your name, Lord. Amen. Yes.
These words were read this morning from Ezekiel, but I want to read them again.